Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel any time.
Okay, so why do people love my Total Body Bar workouts? Because they work. My clients get an amazing workout and great results. I'm Andrea Rogers, professional dancer and trainer, and my Extend Bar classes are fun, only 30 minutes, and proven to help you get sculpted, lean, and strong. And right now, you can stream my Extend Bar classes for free on the Beachbody On Demand app. See how effective these workouts truly are. Start for free today at Beachbody.com.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, we'll use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
The hell are you supposed to be?
I'm vengeance.
Hi, this is Michael Uslan. You're listening to Batman on Film.
I'm vengeance.
I have given a name to my pain.
Batman to save you.
It's simple. We kill
the Bat of Gotham.
I'm Batman.
Welcome to episode number 72 of the Batman on Film. I got to make sure I get this right because I was confusing and mixing up Social Hour and Satellite shows there because I was doing both. Anyway, this is the Social Hour. I am Bill Jett Rang. Ryan, did you know that I created Batman on Film on a web TV back in 1998? Have I ever told that story before?
Oh my gosh, you might have, but I think it was years ago.
Yeah.
So I hope everybody tracks it down and listens.
Yeah, it's been about 15 years, I think, since the last time I told that story. Yeah,
time to go. You know, time to go dust it off and maybe open that book and tell it again.
But that's true. Batman on Film was founded in 1998. Golly, it sounds funny saying 19s now, right? That century, that millennium, on a web TV. One of these days, I'm going to do a show. We're going to do a podcast, and I'm going to tell that story because it's been
the history of
years.
Web TV.
Yeah,
not Batman on Film on Web TV. The history of Web TV.
There may be. I think there's a show, right? Isn't there a show on Batman on Film called the Batman on the BOF Chronicles?
Yeah,
it might have been mentioned there, right?
Award winning, I think.
Yeah. That's when we had to drop. Remember we had to go up to New York and had to rent tuxes and everything?
Yeah. I think you were presented an award by the great Michael Uslan. He said, you've changed the game with Batman.
Yeah.
The BOF Chronicles.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Yep. It's all coming back to me now.
Yeah, it's all coming.
I think you told the web TV story in your speech after you got the award. So there we go. Yeah. It wasn't as long as I thought, but... Mm.
It's been so. Yeah, it was that was a trip. That was
good times.
That was something else. Yeah, good times. The tuxes were pricey, but they were okay.
They it was nice. Weird. I think Pete was smoking meats there on the right in downtown New York City.
Yeah.
And we wanted to stop, but we had a place to go. So shout out Peter Vera.
Brought his smoker and the grill up the whole nine yards.
Still had Boudin sausage in his pocket. Weird.
And it was in his pocket too. Yeah, I think that's become a thing now. You just carry Boudin around in your pocket, and then
his Batman charge card and Boudin sausage. Never leave home without it, Pete.
Exactly. That's it. So this is senior BOF contributor Ryan Lauer.
Hello.
I just said Ryan. Did you do anything special for the 4th of July? Correct myself, because I went on a rant on the mailbag. Independence Day.
Independence Day.
American U.S. Independence Day 2022. Did you do anything?
Yeah, we were very busy.
Okay.
For 4 days between family, Little League baseball. I didn't play.
I was swimming. I was hoping. That was for a minute. I was thinking you were right in the middle of a game.
Eating, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. And let's see, cookouts. I went up to the lake where a friend had a band playing right there on the lake. So a bunch of boats had come together to just watch the band. And then let's see, on Independence Day itself, it was, going over to another friend's, had some pizza and swam, and then watched fireworks. It was nonstop. A lot of burning in the sun. But
did you use sunscreen?
Eventually.
Okay. Make sure you use sunscreen.
Yeah. I usually do pretty good. I'll burn some, but then that goes away pretty fast. But I mean, Saturday got me pretty hard. It was like out in the direct sun and it was mid-80s, upper 80s. Now I was out in the sun for like 6 hours nonstop. And
for the last
caught up 15, to me that night.
Yeah. For the last 15 years of my coaching career, I really took precaution when it came to being out in the sun. So I had a big, straw wide brim hat and I wore long sleeve shirts that has the UV ray blockage built in, you know. But yeah, I got some areas probably on my neck and face and my arms which are sun damage from the first 15 years when I just went out there and didn't put any sunscreen on or anything. So
you toughed it out and then thought,
let's
put some sunscreen
on. Stupid was what it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How about, I know you were asking. So at the cookout I went to, they had burgers, hot dogs, and big brats. And I don't have brats very often. So I loaded up on brats. So what was your meat of choice for the holiday weekend?
Oh, well,
I know you did something.
I did. I smoked 2 meatloaves.
Wow.
2 big ass meatloaves, smoked them. And then I had a Shinerbach beer, peach and habanero barbecue sauce that I made.
Wow.
So I glazed them with that. Smoked them for like 3 hours, 3.5 hours. They were pretty good.
And then told an announcer, Rachel, cook for yourself.
Yes.
The meatloaf is all free.
And did them with, then sliced it up and put them on you can slice them up, put them on a hot dog bun and put coleslaw on top of it. It was good.
Now, is that a usual Independence Day thing for you?
No.
Meatloaf?
Out of the blue.
Feeling crazy.
Out of the blue.
Wild.
That's what I had in the freezer.
Okay,
and I had,
that also helps.
I had some meat, I did smoke some boudin. I had boudin. Okay. And I had some different kind of sausages that I threw out there as well. And I think that was going to be like the main thing. We just like sausage. And then Jake had his girlfriend over and she just wanted, like regular hot dogs. So I had those. So we're just going to do like sausages. And I said, you know what? I'm going to make up 2 big ass loaves of meatloaf and smoke them.
I like
that smoked meatloaf. It's different than being just putting the,
That's what I was going to say is, you hear
you've had like smoked turkey or smoked brisket or whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just that process, but with meatloaf, and it gives it a, and I use that and I made that barbecue sauce and glazed it. They're good. Good
feels
stuff.
Like a unique choice. You know, usually it is burgers and hot dogs, and you're like, nope, meatloaf.
Yeah.
Smoked meatloaf.
Yeah. Do it. It's a good pick. Good. So it, that did that. And I went to Memphis last week. I don't think I've talked about it since I've.
I don't think you have either. The two social hours were before.
Yeah, that was just on it was on Elvis and then Elvis in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I was inspired by the movie. You saw the movie, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Well, you want to give your two cents on it real quick?
Sure, if anybody cares. I'm a student of Elvis history. I'm not the expert.
You do chime in with things, and then you'll ask me, and I've told you all kind of little anecdotes about Elvis, right?
Yes, that's true. Because actually, I mean, the movie, of course, I went with my lady and we watched it, and it put me on like choosing the Elvis channel on Pandora. Okay. And there's a couple songs that'll pop up, and I'll take a screenshot and pass it or send it along to you.
Yeah.
And you make sure to tell me which album, which year,
mm-hmm.
what clothes he was wearing while he was recording it, what he ate that day.
Yep.
All accurate.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, the movie was, it was pretty damn good. I think it was Freakbase that said it on the Social Hour review that maybe it took him, like the beginning kind of caught him off guard a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It did me too. Not necessarily like a bad way. It's just, I don't know what I was expecting, but I didn't expect it that flashy jumping.
Yeah.
For, I don't know, it was 5-10 minutes or so. And then Tom Hanks, he took me a little while to settle in with him, but then I don't know, not long into the movie, it wasn't even a thought. I wasn't feeling like, oh, this is Tom Hanks playing a character anymore.
It's different seeing Tom Hanks playing asshole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, definitely.
Yep. 'Cause he's kind of like Jimmy Stewart of our era, you know? And I was taken out and just accepted him for being Colonel Parker.
My fiance, she never watched a trailer, never saw a TV spot. I just told her after I saw the first trailer, I said, I want to go see Elvis and I want to see it in a theater whenever it comes out. She's like, okay, I'm in. I don't need to see it. I like Elvis. Whenever you want to go, we'll go. The credits came at the end. And when Tom Hanks' name popped up, and then moved on to the next or something. I don't know if it was scrolling or what. She looked at me. She's like, was that Tom Hanks' name? I go, yeah, he was in the movie. And she goes, who? I said, he was Colonel Tom Parker.
Really?
Not kidding you. Yeah. Are you really? She had no idea.
And I was that's like, a compliment to Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And I don't know that, like, that surprised me. And I was like, okay, good. Like sometimes I don't want to say too close to it, because obviously I wasn't involved in anything with making the movie, but I knew Tom Hanks was going to be in the movie and he was cast as so-and-so and I watched the trailers and all that. And sometimes like others who aren't that close, you know, it's like, well, then he did what he was hired to do. He didn't know that it was him. He played a character, but then I can't say anything different than what a lot of others said and said a lot better about Austin Butler was embodied.
He's going to win the freaking Oscar. I
know we've got 6 months of movies left, but
yeah,
I mean, come on. Come on. That guy was something else. But I thought the movie was pretty damn good.
Did you get a tad emotional when, spoiler alert, when it jumps from Austin Butler at the piano and then it cuts back and it's the real Elvis there at the end?
It didn't. Only because I think I was just really caught off guard completely. And then it didn't catch up to me until it was full on Elvis of like what they were doing.
Because
I think I was just all like, oh, Elvis, you know, or Austin Butler. And then it was like, wait, shit, that's Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
What? You know, and then it had to be like a whole, wait, but this started as Austin Butler, didn't it?
Yeah.
You know, going through that part. So I think it definitely caught me off guard for sure. But listening to that Social Hour, you guys said being, it probably could have hit me harder if I knew a lot more and knew what that performance was and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was, I don't know that was coming and seeing that I wasn't able to recognize, because that was his final live performance, wasn't it?
It was one of them. Yeah.
I mean, it was difficult to watch too, though, I thought too.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, like, it was still surprising at like how good, even though you could see it was like how much he was struggling.
Well, he's a physical mess at that point.
Yeah.
But
then even that voice that came out, still like, God, that's good. Still good, even though struggling pretty bad. And then, God, what was I going to say? I definitely wanted some more 1950s performances, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'd read online at the stadium that he performed that was kind of encapsulating a couple different moments.
It was, yeah.
Into one.
It was.
One scene, one performance.
And but I think. Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was an awesome performance.
He was in Jacksonville, Florida. I think it was Jacksonville.
Okay.
Where he was told by the sheriff that you better not
shake move, a finger.
Not even a finger. And I think he actually went ahead in that concert. And because he says in the, if you ever watch the 68 comeback special, that, you know, someone goes, Elvis, you know, the finger goes, yeah, that's all I can move down in Florida. You know, police came out and filmed the show and I couldn't move. I had to stand still. I can move with my little finger like, you know, you ain't nothing but. And so it was that they can just combine several things. And then the anti-Elvis stuff at that time into that. And like, he never sang Trouble in concert. Trouble was from King Creole, the movie, 1958.
It's supposed to be, I liked the Butler's performance of that song.
Yeah, that was Austin Butler, man. He sang the 50s, all the 50s stuff. The Hayride scene, they make it like it's his first ever concert appearance, first time he
performed. That was one in like that looked like in an auditorium. Mm-hmm. His first performance, basically, in the movie.
Yes.
I really liked that part. I thought that was funny. That got a lot of good laughs from my theater. And then, of course, the line, they want to see you wiggle.
Boy, hard
laughs.
Those girls want to see you wiggle, man. Go.
And so, like, that was funny. But then, and then on a different level of humor, recording the 68 special.
Yeah, that was, that's good as well. Pretty accurate there, you know.
Yeah.
The colonel wanted him to do a straight up Bing Crosby-esque Christmas special with a shitty Christmas sweater. Here comes Santa Claus.
Here comes Santa Claus. Yeah. But I mean, good movie. Got me listening to some Elvis music.
That part when he goes and cuts in and it shows him singing If I Can Dream, and then the end scene that Unchained Melody, those two hit me and my Elvis fan heart pretty hard. Yeah. So I loved it, and we're not gonna turn this into Elvis. I've done enough Elvis.
I thought Elvis was gonna pop up here at the beginning.
Yeah. But like, it was I loved it. I'm gonna go see it again. Micah Ramey wasn't a big fan of it.
Okay.
He just did a video. So if y'all want to check out, go to his Ramey Review YouTube channel. He was not a fan of the Baz Luhrmann style. Whereas I thought Baz's style fit Elvis perfectly. Personal opinion. This isn't Walk the Line for Elvis. You know what I mean? it's not a linear biopic. Like,
okay, I was wondering what you
usually are.
I actually was gonna ask you because I know you guys had mm-hmm. said that for the Elvis review shows, because mm-hmm. my definition was not the what I thought of this isn't his walk the line. To me, I took it as, oh, you want a movie about Johnny Cash? Here's Walk the Line that does it with like respect, and it's really well done. And so mm-hmm. it'd be like, oh, you want a movie on Elvis that's respectful and entertaining and good, then I would point of like, oh yeah, then this. So I get what you mean now as far as like a linear, complete biography sort of.
Yes, exactly.
Movie.
Gotcha. That's exactly what I meant. I thought it just fit. And even though Colonel Parker narrates it, you mm-hmm. still see Elvis's point of view and Elvis's story. So I don't really agree with the criticism that like, well, why was it told through Parker's lens? Well, I get why. You see, number one, you see how much of an asshole he was, and secondly, you do see Elvis's story mm-hmm. from Elvis's point of view. You know,
I do. Yeah, I thought that at the beginning, and how it started, I was like, oh, are we gonna be with Tom Parker the whole time? And seeing Elvis, and that's it. But it mm-hmm. did feel like a transition, almost like a handoff, a little bit of all the Colonel, both of them.
It's almost
and then like more Elvis then.
Yeah, it's like
throughout
Colonel Parker saying it this way, and then you see it played out in the film mm-hmm. from Elvis's point of view to show how much, you know, Parker was full of shit. His story was full of shit. There's no doubt in my mind that Elvis got to be Elvis mm-hmm. because of him. But there was there was a point in the early 60s that Elvis needed to he outgrew Parker artistically and could have done so much more. Like it's in the movie briefly, but you know, Barbara Streisand wanted Elvis to play the
Star is Born.
Star is Born wanted him to be the lead actor, which ended up being Kris Kristofferson, and Elvis wanted to do it. And Colonel Parker, his demands were so ridiculous that didn't happen. That could have changed a lot of things. So, all right.
Well, I feel like I think in the most recent mailbag, there was a question similar to this, and this could maybe segue, not to take mm-hmm. your segue from you, but you've been treated well in your fandom. You have a mm-hmm. tripod of fandom for mm-hmm. you, Bill. Dallas Cowboys, Elvis Presley, and Batman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Two of the three this year you got. And define it however you want, which mm-hmm. kind of, in a positive way, knocked you on your ass more, the Batman or Elvis?
Ooh. Golly, that's tough. Because the Batman moved me.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. The end, you know, the end mm-hmm. of the Batman. I'd have probably just say maybe Elvis, but probably because with Elvis, I've been waiting for a serious mm-hmm. big screen biopic of Elvis for like ever, you know, and we've had some great Batman films, you know, previously. So
that'd been my guess is the fact of you can turn around and if the Batman wasn't great, you could have been like, I got the Nolan trilogy. Mm-hmm. I've got 89 and stuff. Whereas mm-hmm. Elvis, if it wasn't great, it's like, I got to go to a TV movie.
Yeah,
that was fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would say, yeah, for that reason.
There you go. All right.
So speaking of the Batman.
Wow. How about that transition?
It's awesome. We're going to have a new series here on the Social Hour and probably bring on some of the other guys throughout. And it's called The Batman Chapter by Chapter. And we're going to break down the film based on the chapters in terms of how it's divided up on the Blu-ray.
This episode of the Batman on Film Social Hour is brought to you by Athletic Greens. So what is this stuff? What is Athletic Greens? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, and probiotics to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all of these things. AG1 is lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free. AG1 contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, while still tasting good. It also supports better sleep quality and recovery, and it supports mental clarity and alertness. So how much is this going to cost? AG1 will cost you less than $3 a day. It's cheaper than getting all your different supplements yourself. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/emerging. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/emerging to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
The first chapter, and I got to say, we got to call it I'm Vengeance, right?
Yeah.
That I thought about.
Makes the most sense.
I Am the Shadows, mm-hmm. But it's kind of. I'm Vengeance plays a more important role in the film, right?
Yeah. It feels like the big punctuation for this, for that chapter in itself.
Yes. I think we know that, spoiler alert, he comes to realize that he's got to be more than just vengeance.
Yeah.
So we're going to start off with chapter one, I Am Vengeance. So I went back and I watched it a few times. It runs about 12 minutes. And let's get into it. So we see it and it just, boom, it's the Batman, you know, after the Warner Brothers logo and all that. And then the Batman title and they're playing Ave Maria. And what did you think? I gotta kind of take us back sometimes to the first time we saw it. When you see... You hear the heavy breathing and looking through some sort of binoculars or whatever. You see the building and the kid jumping around in a ninja costume. What did you think? Did you ever think, okay, this is going to be like a Bruce Wayne type flashback?
I remember our first talk on the social hour of the review, and I said it felt very 89 in the sense of, wait, is this the Waynes?
Yeah.
Or not. And then, I don't know, it was just, and the kid dressed up as a red ninja. I was like, okay, that's not Zorro. And then you started, and then once you could see, I don't know, I was able to see like, oh, that's the mayor. It was an interesting open to the movie. I do love, and I even marked it down, like you said, of silent Warner Brothers gone, Flash, the Batman gone, and then the music as and the voyeuristic stuff. And so I it's an interesting opening to a Batman movie.
Yeah.
Very, very different. I'm not over exaggerating, and there's never been a movie that's ever opened up like this before or anything. I just, I like, it didn't start of him suiting up and all that. It's just, I don't know. It's like straight to it, but set the tone on, maybe that's it. So, I mean, it just kind of, it set the tone of that, a little uneasy in watching and followed by what happens.
I wasn't sure.
Followed by first, the Batman's person, all that.
The first time I saw it, I think, I'm pretty sure I thought it was maybe it was Batman who was doing the staking out, because I wasn't really sure of what he was looking at, you know, until they get into the apartment, yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm. I might have too. And then the breathing became really.
Yeah, the breathing.
Because I watched those damn fandom trailers, you know, 400 times, and like the breathing started to get very. You know, I'm not going to try and do it. Like it sounded a little bit in those.
I was like, okay, maybe, you know, he's in the cowl. I don't know, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you see the mayor, he gets on the phone and, you know, he's watching the TV report about the debate with Bella Real, and he's not doing all that great in the polls. They're basically neck and neck, and someone's calling him. He's asking about that. And then he moves away and you see the Riddler standing in the background. I went, okay, this is the Riddler. So there is the first time we see the Riddler. And it's kind of a scary scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
The way he shows up. I mean, he's very much like almost like a horror movie in a way, you know?
When the mayor moved, so the first viewing was in IMAX. When the mayor moved, you could see that the Riddler was behind him before the TV screen or the light shows that it's the Riddler behind him. And then other viewings not in an enhanced screen, like he was hidden better. Mm-hmm. And then watching the Blu-ray disc, definitely when the mayor moves, you can't really see him until the light comes on. So, I mean, overall, it was still very effective. It was cool. And then as, you know, his big glasses and then his eyes just moving.
Yeah.
Following him back and forth. Yeah, it's definitely like it's a horror movie. It's definitely, you know, influenced by Zodiac. I don't know. There's something about that. Definitely can see the influence of the Zodiac movie and Zodiac Killer.
I think, you know, you could have just had him and then the mayor come in. But you have the part where it is Halloween and you had the kid. Well, the kid is significant, even though I don't think he has a line in the entire film.
Mm-mm.
But the kid is established in that scene. It could have just been the mayor coming into his office and the Riddler, you know, staking him out, and he sees the skylight and all that. And then, you know, but the kid is introduced there. At the time, I didn't think that there was going to be anything significant about the kid, but that proves to be the case. And we'll discuss as we go along. It also established the fact it is Halloween. I got that from the ninja costume I had, you know, and also you see the mayor is awful proud of the fact that they busted Maroney, the Maroney drug bust. He's got that newspaper.
And the term renewal.
Yeah.
It was just dialogue.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, you just hear like he's watching a debate between himself and Bella Real. And and they say the renewal, whatever. And I probably glazed over it. Didn't. At this point, to me, didn't mean anything.
Correct.
Well, now, you know.
Now we know. Yes. So you're establishing some things in this first scene that are important to the film as we go along. Then he just kills the mayor, and he does it rather violently, right?
Speak of establishing the music when he jumps, the music and the yell, because it's silent. I mean, it's pretty silent at that point. And then it's such a hard, like, I think it's probably like a stringed instrument, like a really hard, like, as he's like yelling, which startled me, of course, in the theater. And then after he hits the mayor and the tool comes into focus and everything else is blurry, which, hey, by the end of your first viewing, I think you can view that differently now, of it's almost like a Reeves kind of like a nudge of like, hey,
look
at this thing right here.
I have never laid carpet in my life, so I didn't know what that tool was.
I did once. We didn't have that.
And I have pulled up carpet, but I didn't use that. I think I just got a hammer claw and, you know, but, you know, the focusing on the Tucker while you watch this scene the first time, you don't think much.
Much it's an to artistic it, right? choice, an yes. artistic choice.
And, you know, he takes out the duct tape. And then it cuts right into Thursday, October 31st, with the voiceover of the Batman.
Real quick, so I think something that's done, I think Nolan did it really well, Reeves did it really well, and here is, that's a brutal, visceral murder.
Yes.
Disturbing, but it's filmed in a way that you get that impact, and it's not gory. I don't think it's too much. You got him on the body, but the body is blurry in the back. And then the focus. And I mean, you do get a shot, but I mean, it's really dark too. I think where maybe the camera pans like some of the body and then up to Riddler. And then the Riddler's on top of him. It's just not.
Yeah.
It's not. I don't know.
You see, I've watched specifically stylistic. For that. You see a little bit of blood, a little bit on the Tucker. When it's focused in, you see the mayor's head from the back when he's laying face down on the floor. You can see there's some sort of,
you know, there's blood on the head. You don't see, oh, his skull is cracked open. There's a piece of this or anything like that. It's just like, oh, you know that there's blood on his
head. I mean, you could have, you could have showed him whack him in the head with it. And, you know, his freaking head explodes with blood. And, you know, you could really could have done it that way. But yeah, I'm with you. That's a good point.
I think bring out. It's just, there's something, the best Batman is almost like Batman that's, there's some elegance to it. There's class, there's art, you know, an artistic touch to Batman. Just, I think that's a requirement to, I mean, it's not to try and be pretentious with Batman. It's just, I don't know, that's just done really well instead of, I think, and I don't know, in ways that it could have been. It's just done well, and it's just as effective, and we do not see the impact of the instrument or any of that.
No, you just see him. I'm
not a prude. I've seen that in movies that's worked before too, but with here, I just think it's a good way that it got done. And then I think we talked about it on the commentary that there was actually one of the things they had here is after Riddler hit him, he went and like got up and went and sat in the corner for a bit. And I forget, I have to listen to the commentary again. That's interesting to me. Wouldn't know until I saw it, but what we got, I like that his just like, I don't know. It's just creepier of him just sitting on the body, collecting himself and then continuing.
Well, it's kind of probably going away. And I guess it's probably, well, he set the damn Wayne Manor orphanage on fire, but that'd been the first time probably the first time he's carrying out his plan of taking these big wigs out, you know, and he goes right, starts with the mayor, you know, and also from the commentary, Paul Dano suggesting, well, he can wrap his head in cellophane.
Yeah.
And then it was hot as hell. And Reese said, we don't have to do this. And he's like, nope, I've said I was going to do it. So.
Which
we're all in,
you know, I just thought maybe a little bit of that was just, I don't know. It's just how he's dressed up to hide his identity. But then the reasoning being that he would be trying to be so methodical to make sure he doesn't even leave a hair follicle or whatever. It's that makes a lot of sense. It's like, okay, that's a good explanation behind it. If you need one.
And then at that point, that first track from the soundtrack kicks in. Is that awesome? I mean, and then the whole thing plays out. You can't fight
City Halloween.
Yeah. Yes. Can't fight Silly Halloween. It's silly. City Halloween. It was, I love just listening to that music and then envisioning what's going on sometimes, you know?
What it really is. So then it cuts to black and then Pattinson's voice starts. And then it is the hitting of the signal as that's starting to like, it's all in unison. It feels one big whoosh of sound between that. The rain really starts coming and picking up and the music all just hits like all at once. And it's this, and it's just like, my God.
I even like this. I'll even like the sound that the rain on the bat signal makes.
Yes.
Kind of, you can hear it kind of sizzle.
And all of that starts.
Yeah.
With the music is like all of freaking A.
So he points out in his.
That's the track of the score. I've never asked you if that I don't think what your favorite track on the score. Mine is that one.
Is that I've listened one. To that for one me too
more than the Batman theme itself. I've listened to that one.
I'm with you. So we find out it's Halloween, which we kind of know from the mayor's kid. He's been doing this for 2 years. It's turned him into a nocturnal animal, he says. Hitting the chaos is the element. But he's down there with them too. I believe from the commentary, Matt Reeves talking about the decision to have Bruce on the streets, have the drifter Bruce Wayne, totally makes sense. I know some, like, I saw some people comment like, I would have liked it better if he had been like up on a rooftop as Batman and then swooped in, but I get what they're doing here. He's down there with the element and he's in disguise. He's in disguise as both Bruce Wayne and he's in disguise as is hiding Batman as well as Bruce Wayne in disguise as this drifter. We can just see his eyes and he's down there and he makes the point. I can't be everywhere. I can't be everywhere.
I'm very surprised at myself for how much I love Year One. I didn't feel Year One nod here. I think, man, almost everybody I've talked to, they got Year One instantly. First view here of him walking in, and I don't know, for whatever reason.
Do you now or?
Only because I feel like I'm supposed to.
Okay.
So, and maybe it's just because, I mean, thinking about it now, I mean, you get that shot in which maybe you didn't know it was him the first time, but now, you know, you see him as he's walking his back is toward the camera with all the people. And you can see, I can picture in my head, the Year One panel of him walking on that side of part of Gotham Drifter. And he's like, maybe that was the influence of that, but it's not because organically I thought of that. It's because everybody has said that's Year One Drifter Bruce in the same spot. So it just really surprises me that that is not where I got Year One.
That's fair.
In the movie.
I see that. And that's just like, oh, that's a Year One influence, you know, him being down the streets. It just makes sense. I mean, he's down there. He can't be everywhere. He says, then he explains, you know, and all these different shots are coming together and it makes sense why we see the bat signal then. You know, he even brings it up. We have a signal when I'm needed now. And he talks, they don't know where I'm at or I am, you know, I can't be everywhere, but they don't know where I am. And he talks about the shadows, you know, and how fear is a tool.
So I know I didn't recognize or think that's Bruce walking as a drifter, because when it's showing the other shadows apart, I thought, oh, is Batman going to come out and stop this armed robbery? Is he going to jump out of the shadows and stop these guys spray painting? And he didn't. And then, I mean, of course, that's the point. But I just remember thinking Batman was going to jump out.
I think they did a great job with that voiceover explaining he can't be everywhere. They had the signal and you see the guys, you know, you see that drop head arm robber and the the gang that's vandalizing the bank.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking up. They see the bat signal, and then they look into the shadows. You know, like, mm-hmm. okay, that paint can that rolls. They drop and it rolls in there. Is like, you know,
it's like feared. Like look like kids again. I'm like, nah, that's the dark place. I don't want to go.
Yeah.
I don't want to go into the dark. Monsters are in the dark.
So they make a great point. I mean, it's very evident that, yeah, I can't be everywhere, but you don't know where I'm at.
Reeves was making his point. Reeves and Pattinson, I guess, making the point without me realizing he's making the point of, I thought Batman was going to jump out of the shadows and he didn't.
Exactly.
Because he was trying to make a point that you think you don't know if I'm there or not. It's like, yeah. Well done. The two location bits, the grocery store, and I know I'm not the first one to say this, but I thought this, I remember when I first watched it, mm-hmm. was called Good Times Groceries. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's too coincidental for Pattinson's Good Times.
I'll admit that I didn't pick up on that. I saw the Good Times grocery, but I didn't think, oh, that's a nod to Pattinson's Good Time.
Reeves talked about Pattinson's movie or that Pattinson's performance in that movie. So I just kind of feel like, oh, that's a fun. I feel like that's got to be a nod. I don't think it was mentioned.
I believe that the arm drop head robber is dressed like Robert Pattinson's character in Good Time.
I've come across that before too. And then the building that they're spray painting on, I don't know if you knew this. That's the same building that the funeral is at. It's just the funeral part. If that's the front, these pillars mm-hmm. are the left side of it.
Okay.
Of that building. So I like getting into finding location stuff. I found that out when I was trying to find out specific shots in Chicago that they filmed at, which we'll mention again here in a second.
So we get the whole fear is a tool. I think I'm hiding in the shadows. But I am the shadows. That's a great Batman line, isn't it?
Hell yeah, it is. And that music up to that point.
It's building up.
And I know I won't sound that good, but as it's building up, there's even that like that they mix in with it too. And I love that part as it's building and you hear that bum bum hard. And Reeves talked about in the commentary of, and I don't remember specifics on that, of purposely wanting Pattinson to deliver of like, it's going, they think I am this in the shadows. And it's like, you've hit that peak point and mm-hmm. then it's down to like a very mellow I am the shadows. What you'd almost expect, like, I have the shadows, you know, instead it's, and I am the shadows. And it plays it back here. And then.
Then we got to the train. With those asshole gang guys. Yeah.
That shot itself, that one in Chicago, I've gotten on and off the train in Chicago many times in that spot. So that's always, that's cool to me because you can see when you look at it, if you're familiar of like living in commuting in Chicago and stuff, you can recognize, oh yeah, I know where that is. But also like they have the alterings are really fun.
Yeah.
To be like, oh yeah, up at the top of the screen, that's not really how it is, but it all looks seamless. Mm-hmm. It all works. And that they just cut from, a soundstage to a Chicago scene to a building in, I don't know if it's Glasgow or in England.
Yeah.
Like all of that is being cut. That stuff fascinates me of the power of movie making, movie magic.
It's creating Gotham through different cities. CGI.
Yep.
You know, I like the fact that just in this brief time we see this gang, I guess they're, you know, well, they're initiating this kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're initiating the kid. He does a good job of looking like, I don't really want to be doing this.
I think his line is no, 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 no.
Yeah.
That's his only line.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he got cast in Titans as Tim Drake because of the tears he showed in the fandom trailer in the back. Like the reaction of what's about to come. Yeah. And he doesn't talk. It's just full emoting of face. And I feel like that got him he's doing well for himself. Yeah.
It was, yeah, that's, he is Tim Drake. I didn't watch Titans, but I know that he was cast as Tim Drake.
He had lines as Tim Drake. He didn't just say no, yeah. no, no in Titans.
Oh,
just,
you know. I thought in Titans, I guess I'm wrong, but it's every time Tim Drake showed up, he just went, no, 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 no.
No, 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 no.
They walk off the set. That didn't happen.
No, 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 no. F Batman. Yeah. That's a requirement for anybody who wants to be a Robin.
Yes. So they're going to, they pick out this commuter. Mm-hmm. And he's going, they, you know, they're watching the video of them going around and just randomly punching people in the face and knocking their ass out. And he's like, I knock his ass out, you know, and mm-hmm. it's just doesn't want to do it. He even looks up, he sees the bat signal, you know? And at that point you kind of, well, you know, cause you've seen the trailers, but I'm just speaking of what they're going for here. You see everyone else look up, see the bat signal, look in the shadows.
Well,
he's not there, but he's here. This one, right?
How about the Pattinson prepping in the red mm-hmm. light as he's prepping the mm-hmm. the stuff? Now, did you get it to believe that that's him in the other train car?
No,
no. Okay,
because that's just me. So I'm gonna look for that.
I wondered because you do see the one view, like you're looking through the train car at them. Mm-hmm. And then you see the flip side of that where you're looking into another train car that is all pitch black. Okay. Then it cuts to him as he's putting, you know, the eye makeup mm-hmm. on and stuff in the red light.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, okay, are we led to believe he's in that train car getting prepping himself? But then also, where's the red light coming from? I don't know. I also know the red light stuff Reeves has said that was like for the test screening. And mm-hmm. I think they're playing the music. Or not mm-hmm. test screening, camera test. Mm-hmm. And they were playing Giacchino's music with that. And Reeves was like, this has to be in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that, like, that's more behind the scenes stuff that, like, I don't know. I like that. I like, this was just trying this out. And I was like, oh my God, this works. Well, and 2 years later, it's in the movie.
Yeah. You would think maybe he got on. He got on the train. It was, you know,
yeah.
How would he have known that there were going, you know, this was about to go down?
Mm-hmm.
Unless he was watching from a distance on the nearby, and would mean he would have to be on a different car.
I mean, and then, but I mean, all the Batman
that works for me.
See, there's coincidence like that itself. He's there stopping. Well, how did he know mm-hmm. this is going to happen? I don't know. He's Batman.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's enough there for you to believe it, and there's enough there for you to come up with your own reasoning.
Open to it's interpretation, open. Right?
Yep.
Okay. That's, I hadn't thought of that. I like that idea.
Look at that. I'm learning you something.
Yes.
Consider the possibilities.
At that point, you know, it's basically there's no music.
Mm-hmm.
They're following this commuter out, you know, knock his ass. Now you go knock his ass out, and he doesn't, you know, the kid doesn't want to do it.
No music at this point. As much as I love the music in this movie, I'm glad the moments that they decide not to use music.
Well, that's because then all you hear is boom,
mm-hmm.
boom. And they show the shadows before nothing's mm-hmm. came out of the shadows. This time,
rule of three.
The Batman.
This is the third time we're seeing shadows, and that's that's when he comes.
Batman comes out, and I made note. the fact, you know, the steps, and then we hear that different times throughout the film with the boots.
Are you projecting, or do you hear like a little bit of spurs with those steps? Put your ear up right next to the TV next time you play it and just see if you hear the slightest little bit, because I could have swore then and the
I
steps
know
after it gets Penguin. That I'm like, there's got to be a little bit.
Okay. I know that that's very much of a Western influence. I mean, they've Reeves has mentioned that going for that vibe.
I'm no music expert, but the focus on the steps, I swear I heard a little bit of a spur. And then I think Giacchino, even with the score, does like a wow. It's subtle. It doesn't overtake everything. It's mixed really well, but I feel like there's like a, it feels to me though, those elements felt that's the Western influence.
I wrote down the look on Pattinson's face as he comes out and you see him the first time as Batman. Frickin' he does a good job of being looking like he's really pissed off and unhinged, you know? And also, we talked about this from the Art of the Batman book when we did that show. The cowl looking like a skull and Reeves wanting it to come off like that, where he's almost like the Grim Reaper. It's in this shot, in that scene, it really, especially, you know, the guy pulls that, you know, the gang leader pulls out the machete, you know, and he's like, look at this guy, you know, and Batman whips his ass like boom, 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 boom. And then, you know, and he asks, you know, what the hell are you supposed to be? And
go ahead.
But no, I was just saying, you know, and then it's, you get, I'm Vengeance, and he looks up and you can see me, but he looks up. He's almost like he's just, he's shaking. He is so amped up in the moment.
And music,
and he stands up, and you know,
as he stands, that music again does like a wow sort of. Pattinson definitely he had some input that carried weight on the punching and delivering vengeance. I'm Vengeance line. I can't remember if it was in one of the bonus features or GQ magazine does a lot of stuff on YouTube of actors. In their favorite, their most important roles or something. And Pattinson, this was before the Batman even came out. They did one on Pattinson, and he talks about, I should send it to you. Unless you've already seen it.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if he mentioned it in there, but there was something about when to deliver it and how he said, I wanted to deliver it when this guy's like near death after I just pummeled him the extra punches even, and then say it. It's more of like an emphasis. And I think that, I don't know. I mean, I always try to, I didn't write the movie. It's very easy to be sitting on my ass and say, well, they should have done this. It's what was presented to you. What's your thoughts on that? So what was presented to me is that he pummels this guy and then does extra punches and says, I'm Vengeance. It's hard for me to wrap my head around that. He's like, I'm Vengeance, and then punches, or halfway through it says, I'm Vengeance, and then does it more. It's like, now what we got, that just feels like how it is and should be. You know,
it's like an emphasis, you know, of what, you know, of him being Vengeance, physical, like a physical embodiment of that. You want to know who I am? Boom, 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 boom. You know, I'm gonna give you a little bit more. I'm Vengeance. You know,
he could have maybe just like punched the guy with the theme music. Bump, 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 bump.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm Vengeance.
Yes,
the Batman the musical coming to Broadway.
the great fight scene, and Batman takes a few shots himself, you know, it's like hits him with a pipe or something across the back. But he ends up taking those guys out. He turns to the kid. I don't know. To me, I don't think he's not going to go after the kid.
I feel like this emphasizes what he was just narrating to us, the playing off of fear, and it just worked on this kid who, I mean, he's in the middle of taking on what, five other guys when the one pulls the gun, And this kid is like, you know, there's this big moment of no, 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 no. So I don't know. We're an audience. We're able to see this. Someone in that scene who knows if you even recognize, oh, that one just tried to stop that one from shooting me. Not necessarily needed that he needs to beat the hell out of this one, who doesn't seem like a threat. He took off running. And yeah. I think I can only speak for myself. I feel like mission accomplished. That kid does not want to continue. He doesn't want to go down this path.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And I think the best part, well, I don't know if I'll say the best part, but a really impactful part is that he saves this guy, right? He saves him. And he whips their ass. He kicks the gang's ass. And the guy has been saved. And the guy is scared shitless of him and says, don't hurt me. You know?
A long way we've come in the superhero genre, right? Of
yeah,
early comic books in the 30s and 40s and being like, superhero, thank you so much for saving me, to 2022. I just saved you. Ah, please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me.
And it's it's
important to the movie where it comes full freaking circle by the end.
Yes, that's exactly the reasoning. And I was going to bring it up. So thank you. You're just a segue master.
I'm trying.
You're a segue
I'm
master.
Trying, okay?
It's, and even Pattinson talks about, you know, here he is. He saved this guy, and I don't like Pattinson. He goes, he's like this, you know, and then the guy looks like he's some werewolf, you know, that just,
yeah,
and it's that gets the point across. It's like all of it. I mean, the fear, vengeance, all that shit is working, right? Mm-hmm. To the point to where the guy he saves is afraid of him.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of represents Gotham, that they're all afraid of him, you know, and that's what he wants at that time. He's all good. He's good with it. You know, fear's a tool.
Yep.
And you think at that, you know, you think things like, why couldn't he have said, I'm Batman? You know, this is where I get back to. Let creatives create, and fans, you keep fanning, okay? Just go over there and fan, because there's a reason why he says, I'm vengeance. And it's, you know, you go, but just because it means so much more to the, we get mm-hmm. to what, chapter 18 at some point?
Yeah.
Or whenever that shows up. So, and then the Batman looks at the bat signal, and, that chapter is over with. Great overall. I think it's one of the greatest Batman introduction scenes of any Batman film.
Yeah. Maybe after we get done with chapter by chapter and we're still 2 years away or something. Maybe there's another discussion of, mm-hmm. I mean, people, okay. Sometimes it stinks to try and rank, but people love hearing rankings. Mm-hmm. They love lists and rankings. And maybe that's a topic of.
Oh, yes.
That's in any Batman movie.
Dude, that's like every fandom, because, you know, I'm a sports guy, cowboy fan. And I'll go like right now, it's like the deadest dead time of the year. And. like training camp starts in like 2 or 3 weeks and all the off season's over with. And so it's just clickbait bullshit on these, you know, ESPN and wherever. And it's tons of like rankings.
The Cowboys who can eat the most hot dogs in the quickest amount of time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, it's almost at that point. So yes, rankings are very popular amongst fans.
That would be a good discussion, I think, though, mm-hmm. of Batman. I don't know. What do you want to say it? Batman entrances in movies or just opening scenes to Batman movies. Because, I mean, we look at the opening scene of Dark Knight is Joker. Opening scene of Dark Knight Rises is Bane. Opening scene of Batman Begins, I mean,
we don't see Batman until halfway, I mean, what, a third into the film?
Yeah.
At least.
So
yeah.
But I mean, so I don't know how
Batman,
there's something to,
you could do too. I mean, you could be the intros, the opening segments of Batman films. You could do Batman introduction scenes, you know.
It could be a fun discussion. Let's put that in our pocket.
Yeah, I think, to me, this was maybe the best Batman introduction of any of the films. And I love, you know, look, I love 89's, you know, when you have a cut, man, you know, there ain't no bat. I'm Batman. I love that. That was so awesome back when I saw 89, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's cool. I mean, returns. I mean, him getting up in a study. I love that. I just like visually, I really love that. I know Forever and Batman and Robin,
look,
and it's him suiting up to go out on Gotham. I mean, that's cool. Dark Knight is him taking out the imposters.
If I say this, I don't care. I'm going to say it. I think the opening segment of Batman Forever is pretty damn awesome. The whole,
it's
you
a
know,
lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. His return. So you're saying Batman introductions. He does have an introduction in Dark Knight Rises. I think that's pretty badass. Lights coming down. It's like, what's going on? Reveal, there he is, taking out a guy. Like, that's good. So we've been dealt well. So here we are, the most recent. How many good Batman introduction scenes in live action movies? And here we are all these years later. And we just mentioned one that, I mean, is arguably most impactful. I don't know, best, arguably the best, like, yeah.
what's cool about this is we're getting kind of going back, and we'll finish up here. They break down I'm Vengeance chapter one of the Batman, is that it does set up a lot of things that are going to be addressed in the film. Even at the very end. I can sit here and say, I think it's the best Batman introduction scene of all the live action films. And then you start thinking about the other ones. We've had some pretty awesome Batman introduction scenes. And
our
different
cup runneth over with
because
goodness.
Look, there's nothing fun. You know, and I mean lighthearted fun about I'm Vengeance. Like you just, when I talked about Batman Forever and you said, that's fun. And I went, yeah, it is. Completely two different opposite things, but they're both kind of, you know, very, very, very awesome. Someone asked me in the mailbag if a Batman film would ever be done like Superman the movie or Spider-Man 1, you know, it's kind of more.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Batman Forever says hi, you know. Batman Forever is very much that to me. It's that type of Batman.
I think it is
film.
Too. It's, I mean, yeah, I agree with you.
So, well, that does it for this one. It's about 12 minutes. We talked 45 minutes on a 10 minute scene.
And we could sit there and laugh about a podcast that's 3 hours long talking about a movie that's 2 hours. Well, look at this.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Hey, okay. Sorry. Oops.
It's Batman. I will talk hours about Batman.
So we're going to move on. And our next show will be on chapter two. We'll have to come up with, look, we're going to have to title these, dude, because there's no
chapter
titles.
One, I'm Vengeance.
Yeah, I'm Vengeance. The next one. This is Batman going to the crime scene.
And I don't know if we like mentioned, but specifically we're going by Blu-ray chapters. Cause I don't know if digitally, I feel like they still break them up chapters digitally, but
the Blu-ray. Y'all. I think we said at the beginning, right?
So, okay. I don't remember. So on a overall basis.
So, I got to figure out how can I name this next chapter two something to do with what something that Officer
Martinez
says in that scene. Hey. It could just be that. Hey. It's a police scene.
Chapter two, Officer Martinez.
Yeah.
Just name it. Our Officer Martinez.
Freak. So, yes. Okay. We're going to get to that here shortly. Any final words on this scene? I just think it's my favorite Batman introduction scene of any live action Batman film to date.
Hey, I like the Riddler's opening. Mm-hmm. I almost could skip it to get to Thursday, October 31st. Mm-hmm. And whoosh, and everything up. I could almost just go right to that and start it.
Yeah.
Because I like that a lot. It's a favorite scene. If I can't watch the whole movie, just skip to something in the movie, this would be one of them.
I really loved
all of that.
Here's really getting down to the nitty gritty, into the details. What's your favorite part of this scene? I mean, so we're not that one, you know, now we can say it's my favorite scene. What is your favorite moment in this scene?
His entrance. It's really close with the score picking up like it is, mm-hmm. and it does that. Mm-hmm. as it's building up, but I mean it's him coming out of the shadows.
Yeah,
it's freaking Batman. I don't know a time in my life that I was not excited to see Batman.
Yeah.
So yep,
I gotta go with you. Is that coming out boom mm-hmm. in the Spurs, and then he's obviously left his horse back.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in the,
if he had,
you know,
a horse, what would the name be?
Now you caught me off guard here.
I don't know different types of horses to play off of.
Well, so. You know, I've got like 20 horses out behind the house on the pasture.
That's a requirement to live in Texas, right?
Yes, it's maybe, you know, what do you say, old Betsy, old Gus. It had to be, start with apostrophe OL, whatever it is, whatever.
Yeah. I'm a student of horses as well. So I got nothing punny. Got nothing.
All right, Ryan, before we do our plugs, let me take just a moment to talk about our sponsor, Libsyn. Do you have an idea for a great new podcast? You can bring your idea to life and start your podcast today with Libsyn. Our podcast, the BOF podcast, the Social Hour, the Satellite Show, the Chronicles, all of them have been hosted by Libsyn for over a decade at least. We love it. We love it. I love it. I've been using them. We dig it. Libsyn has everything you need to plan, launch, and grow your own podcast. Libsyn provides some of the best resources created by expert podcasters who will show you everything you need to know, like what equipment you should use, how to record great audio, how to get your show on Apple Podcasts and other popular platforms, and much, much more. Plus, as a friend of Batman on Film, when you sign up with Libsyn, you get your first month of podcast hosting free. There has never been a better time than right now for you to start podcasting. Visit Libsyn.com and use the code FRIEND, FRIEND, that's LIBSYN.com, and use the code FRIEND, FRIEND, to get started and create your podcast today. All right, go ahead and plug, and we'll move on out of here.
You can check out all my Batman stuff on Batman on Film proper, where I've got reviews, recently Batman Beyond the White Knight number 4, as well as a new era for a new team on the Batman title with Chip Zdarsky and Jorge Jimenez. Batman 125 will be up on BOF proper. That's a really great issue. Good start. Past interviews on podcasts with Sean Murphy, Libra Mayo, reviews on movies and everything, all that. Check it out on Batman on Film proper. And then also check out my podcast that Bill also will post on Batman on Film, the Batman Book Club. Yes. Most recent episode was with our pal, the Boudin Sausage King himself, Peter Vera, where we talked about Batman comics in that came out in June. And then actually dropping tomorrow. Don't know how this happened, but I was able to sit and have a conversation with Kelly Jones, A-list Batman artist. Sat and recorded that. He was awesome. He was great. Just like this, Bill, we didn't know we'd talk this long about 10 minutes of the Batman movie. I told him I tried to keep it to an hour, and we talked for about an hour and a half, and I think we could have kept going.
Awesome.
So look for that wherever you catch your podcasts, as well as on Batman on Film.
I got to say that the Independence Day being Monday has thrown me off. Mm-hmm. I just realized I was thinking today's Tuesday. I'm tardy on the Batman review. I got to get that up ASAP. That's my fault.
Every day's Saturday for you these days, I thought.
It is. I had to deal with that too. So
even in the summer when you're not filling in on teaching, when you're not filling in, it's got to be even more like every day is Saturday.
Every day Saturday.
Why not?
It's summer all day, all year.
It's Batman Day every day.
Yes. all of these shows, this show, Ryan's show, is part of the Batman Podcast Network. Just go to Batman on Film. Check out all the shows that are part of that network. There's a logo. There's a drop-down box from the podcast. You can find it there. If you like what we do here at Batman on Film and want to help support, patreon.com/Batman on Film. That's patreon.com/Batman on Film. If you want to advertise cast, well, no, if you want to advertise, you go to advertisecast.com/Batman on Film. Let's see, Athletic Greens, thank you for sponsoring, and also Libsyn as well. You heard those promos earlier in the show. And we have cool t-shirts at tpublic.com. So that's all I got. And looking forward to going through the Batman chapter by chapter. And so we'll see you shortly with part two. So for now, for Ryan, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to the BOF Social Hour, Jet's official vlog and podcast on Batman on Film. Follow Jet on Twitter at Batman on Film. Follow the BOF newsfeed on Twitter at The Batman on Film. For Jet and everyone at BOF, I'm announcer Rachel. Authoritative, definitive, the original, Batman on Film, established in 1998.